Another general issue about the CNS Mets is the issue of edema. So how much edema does it take if an asymptomatic patient, do you want to do something about it, to treat the patient, for example?
You know, I think edema plays a role in your decision making when you have a drug that's minimally effective. And so for the example of a patient who we're going to treat with just chemotherapy alone, carbapenem, something like that, you know, for a variety of reasons that might come up. If that patient's got edema, if that patient has a few brain metastases, I probably will send them to the radiation oncologist because I'm a little bit more worried about that edema. Now, of course, the way we treat that is we give them dexamethasone, and typically that edema resolves pretty quickly. But to me, it's a sign that this cancer is a bit more active, that the reactions can be more troublesome.
So another issue, when we started asking these questions, for example, the first one we worked with a few years ago, the bilateral brain met situation and a targetable lesion, we always made the patient asymptomatic because that's what we were hearing from you. But then we started to hear these cases where there were like little symptoms, like a little numbness in the arm, not too much. So how much symptomatology would it take to push you towards whole brain radiation, for example?
In a patient with an oncogene-driven cancer, I'm not going to let that sway me. Because I typically, if we give that patient dexamethasone, we reverse those symptoms pretty quickly. And the efficacy of TKIs, osimertinib, alectinib, brigatinib, is adequate for most patients. And so I still feel, even in a symptomatic patient, I'm going to get them asymptomatic, typically with steroids, and then I'm going to start TKI.
Well, that's really interesting. Another scenario we asked about that I thought was kind of interesting, I'm not exactly surprised, but we never really asked it before, is a patient with metastatic disease, EGFR mutant, who's responding to osimertinib, we've said 18 months, but then develops a new brain met. Everything else is the same. And it's interesting because the audience and the faculty apply, I guess it's really the HER2 breast cancer. I saw this as a consensus statement with HER2 positive brain mets, where they treat the brain mets, but they keep the anti-HER therapy going. It looks like that model has been applied to osimertinib.
Yeah, you know, I think we've actually been pushing this idea for a while for oncogene-driven cancers. And really, it's a subset of what we define as oligoprogression. You know, so disease is largely controlled, but we have a single site that has escaped and has begun growing and become resistant. Now, we don't know the mechanism of resistance in a single site, but if we can treat that single site with radiation, whether it's in the CNS or in the lung, I'm fully supportive of that approach. Now, I think the CNS is a particularly good subset to treat that way because this blood-brain barrier concept that we talked about means that there's sometimes a little bit less drug there and resistance can happen sooner there. So you're going to buy yourself more time with a brain metastasis compared to, say, a lung metastasis.